Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Today, I'm preaching part three in a series called Travel Light. And I kind of wish that I traveled lighter last week. I had 46 pounds in my suitcase. Because you ever gone somewhere and you're not sure exactly what you're supposed to wear or exactly how you're supposed to dress? And so I you know, they said you might want to wear a suit, so I packed the suit. I don't even wear a suit here. But I packed 46 pounds. And then, of course, you buy a few things for the kids and for the bride and for other people, and you put it in your suitcase, and you realize when you go to the airport, it's 53 pounds now, and they're going to charge $80 because it's extra weight. And then, praise God, they kind of gave me a pass on that. Said, well, you have one bag, not two, and they gave me a pass. And then I got, Alaska Airlines gave me a pass. Mark that down for a miracle right there. When I got back to Seattle. But how many of us, I'm the guy that always weighs a half a pound over on my weight and has to pay. Anyone else here there? But how many of us have collected extra stuff in our life, in our homes, that we don't travel light? And we have some stuff we don't even use that we're carrying around. And today I want to talk about, this series is all about how do we travel, how do we get ready for 2020? And how do we travel light? And today I want to talk about bitterness. Because I want to just share with you my problem with bitterness, because I know none of you have a problem with bitterness today, okay? So it's more counseling, it's group therapy today. It's going to be catharsis for me, and you guys are going to walk away and say, my pastor has problems. No, I'm going to talk about bitterness because I think all of us from time to time pick up some bitterness in our baggage and collect it along the way. And it's good to look and go, okay, can I take an inventory today and can I travel light in some areas where I've kind of taken some offense and some hurt and planted some seeds of pain. And so Paul talks about this in Hebrews. If you have your Bible, it's also on the screen here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, it says, say every. I looked at that word every in the Greek language. It means every. Make every effort to live at peace with the people you like. Wouldn't it be nice if that's what it said? It says, make every effort to live at peace with everyone. I looked that up in the Greek. It means everyone. It means everyone, everyone. The people you like, the saints and the ain'ts. The pillars and the caterpillars of your life, the ones that crawl in and out. And it says this, make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I think what he's saying, make every effort. We need to make every effort. I think you can say it, if it's going to be, it might be up to me. In other words, sometimes we can't say, well, we're going to make peace if they are the first to start. No, it says you make every effort. As much as it's up to us, let's do our part to seek peace and to be holy. In fact, I'm convinced that if you live in bitterness, you probably are lacking on that part called holy. And so today I want to talk about this thought of bitterness and because I think one of the greatest tools of our spiritual enemy, the devil, that he has in his arsenal is he wants to destroy relationships and poison hearts. And he wants to take the joy of life and relationships out. And life is all about relationships, friends. You can't take anything else to heaven with you but relationships. People. God wants us to love, but our enemy loves to kill intimacy. He loves to kill hope. God wants us to grow in trust, but the enemy wants to steal trust and divide relationships and cause you to have bitterness. And the enemy wants to plant these seeds of pain and offense so roots of bitterness begin to grow. And so today I want to talk about that. But here's the key thought for today. We need to recognize that we, and I'll put we here, not you, that we can't control what people do, but we can control how we respond. Now, I could have, at the door, had ushers out there, and if I'd have thought about it earlier, I could have gone to Costco, and I could have bought enough playing cards But we're Pentecostal. We don't play cards, right? No, just kidding. And passed cards out at the door. I could have given you all three cards. Could have played a little game of blackjack or whatever. And how many of you know, we can't control the cards in life we've been dealt. Some of you, when I talk about bitterness, there's some things you've been dealt. There's some abuse. There's some painful conversations. There's some things that have been said or done. And I don't want to minimize the pain. I don't want to marginalize what happened. I don't want to say it didn't. I don't want to ask you to forget what happened. We can't control the cards we've been dealt. But friends, we can control how we play the cards. We do have the power to respond. And so really this message is not, we can't take back yesterday, but we can change tomorrow. So in your life, I want to talk about this thought called bitterness, because I think it's something that as if you're alive today, you have, you are, or will sometimes struggle with bitterness. And so how do we deal with that? In fact, why are we talking about it now? Well, because Christmas magnifies whatever emotional state you're in. If you're like euphoric about your marriage and things are incredible right now, and financially it's been a great year, Christmas is like a really good season for you. But there's some of you in here right now, maybe because of deployment, or maybe because of a divorce, or maybe because of a low economic place in your home right now, or maybe because of the death of a loved one, the emotional state. It's magnified right now because you're thinking it's the first holiday with this or the lack of this, and it magnifies that. And if you're walking through Christmas right now and there's a bitter root that's been growing, it only magnifies. So today we're going to talk about two problems with bitterness and how to kill bitterness. So number one, the first problem with bitterness is bitterness has a dangerous root. It has a dangerous root. And I love words. And so I looked up the word. You know, we read the verse that says, see to it that no bitter root grows up and causes trouble. I looked up that word trouble in the Greek language. And I want to read what it says. It means to cause trouble, to excite a mob against, or harass and vex. And there's a word I've left out because I thought that's a strong word, but the Greek definition means to be vexed, molested, and troubled by demons. Now that word, I hate that word molest in our culture. But that's a word the original author used, that word trouble, that says, hey, if you have a bitter root, you are going to be molested and harassed in your mind by demons. That's what the picture there. How many are like, sign me up for that, Pastor? That sounds fun. 12 days of Christmas. None of us. But that's the picture. And how many believe the devil wants us to be tormented with mind monsters because of a bitterness that begins to grow? And those words that go over in our mind, well, if I had a chance to talk to them, I'd tell them this. Can you believe they'd? And you ever had those talks by yourself when no one's around mowing the grass? And you have this conversation like, where'd this conversation come from? Probably the root of bitterness that's in there. Bitterness is an underground issue. No one else can see it. You can look in the mirror and smile. That's why we justify it as okay, because no one else can see it. We can't see it. We smile and no one can. But it's in there harassing us and tormenting us. And Paul says, see to it that no bitter root grows up. 1 Corinthians says, we love that chapter for weddings. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It keeps no record of wrong. Say wrong. Love keeps no record. But I'll tell you what bitterness does. Bitterness categorizes and details those records of wrongs. What is love? Love covers a multitude of sins, but bitterness exposes the multitude of sins and categorizes them and reminds them. And the longer you let this bitter root grow, friends, the more it spreads and the harder it is to kill. But you can't heal from that which you first don't acknowledge. Some of us today need to acknowledge that there's a bitter root that's growing, and God, I need you to help me to uproot that in my life. The second problem with bitterness is its poisonous fruit. Bitterness, it's not like it just goes away. You know, I used to always describe as a youth pastor that life's dirt. You know, when we die, we go back to it. Life's dirt, and you plant seeds in your dirt. And seeds of pain, and seeds of offense, and seeds of hurt get planted. And if you water those seeds of hurt and offense, roots of bitterness begin to grow, and you can't see them because they're... But I'll tell you what happens with roots of bitterness. You get roots begin, and then all of a sudden, you have shoots of anger. We have people getting anger management classes, but the reality is they need bitterness removal practice. Because anger comes because of roots that are deep inside that no one sees. And the roots begin to grow, and shoots of anger come out. And if you let the anger continue to grow, and then it branches out in rebellion, and we have people going, I don't know why I'm getting back at them, but why do we have the problems in our culture with shootings and all that? It probably goes back to somewhere along the line. Someone didn't teach someone how to pull a root of bitterness. And it goes back to pain that was planted. And there's, see, here's the deal. Good trees bear good fruit. You know a tree by its fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. But bad trees have bad roots. Bitter roots, bitter fruits. We have to look at that and identify and acknowledge and say, what is it? And see, if you want to hinder, see, I believe this. One person nursing an offense can destroy a life group, can divide a family, can make a place of work miserable. Defensive, bitterest people could ruin the move of God in a city, in a church, and in a home. Bitterness and these things. And you might say, Mark, why would you preach this about Christmas? It's like a joy to the world and peace on earth. Exactly, peace. Seek peace and pursue it. If it's going to be, it's up to you. But what? But live at peace with everyone. Seek, find out how to navigate the season where some of us could be in from time to time. The problem with bitterness, it's the hardest sin to see in the mirror. And if we see it, we justify it. The Bible says if you love God and hate your brother, that's not even in God's mind. You can't love your brother and hate. You can't love God and hate your brother. And yet, we want to receive the forgiveness and love of God, but we don't want the love and forgiveness of God to flow from us to the person that hurt us. And that's the challenge. In fact, I think of the story of Herod in the Bible. Herod, somewhere along the line, I don't know his life, his choices, but I know at some point he chose to marry his brother Philip's wife, whose name was Herodias. Now, just walk with me here what Christmas would be like in Herod's house. If he had a family thing, it would be Herod, his new wife Herodias, whose daughters used to be Herod's nieces, and now they're his stepdaughters. That messes every family tree up right there. But John the Baptist preached against Herodias and Herod's relationship, and the Bible says in the New Living Translation that Herodias nursed a grudge against John. And that word nursed a grudge, it's just interesting in my mind that you nurse something when it's sick because you want it to be what? Become healthy. But let me tell us, Herodias nursed a grudge, which means she had a healthy bitterness in her life. You ever met someone that's got a very healthy bitter problem? But I'll tell you, the root of a healthy bitter problem is someone is going to lose their head. If you read the story, she nursed a grudge. Guys, ever played Angry Birds? Okay, admit to it. If you ever played Angry Birds, raise your hand. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Okay, you guys know an Angry Birds. There we go. There we go. More people know about that. But Angry Birds, a couple years ago, you know, pillow pets were the craze. And my daughters were like, Dad, I want a new pillow pet. For what kind? I want an Angry Bird. I'm not buying you an Angry Bird pillow. I'm not going to let you fall ahead on a suicidal bird every day. Of course, my daughter's like, what do you mean? I get all philosophical. Yeah, well, these birds, I mean, they're so angry that they laid an egg and the pig stole their egg. They forgot they could lay another egg. Let's unpack it for a second. I know it's complex. Birds lay eggs. Pigs who can't lay eggs, when pigs have breakfast, it's called commitment. Birds, it's called investment. They give an egg. Pig loses a life. But so these pigs stole the eggs, and the birds are so upset, they forgot they could fly. They forgot they could lay eggs. Follow me here. These birds, they make bird-made slingshots to launch themselves at pig-made places to hide. And so the birds are launched and they're like laughing as they're on their way. And the greatest joy is when they lose their life, but they kill the pigs. And think about it for a second. How many of us, in our anger or bitterness, forget that His mercies are new every day? If someone took your egg, let them have your egg, get up, and I'm not lay another egg. I'm not telling you to lay eggs, but you know what I'm talking about. Pastor told me to lay an egg. Honey, I am so offended. Don't let a root of bitterness grow over that, okay? But the idea here is this: how many of us have forgotten who we are, and bitter roots have poisonous fruits, and all of a sudden we forget that we are created by God and for God, and we are forgiven by God to let forgiveness flow through us. If someone took your egg, lay another one. Don't let them take your wings too. Don't let them so change your identity you forget who God created you to become. But that's what bitterness does. The end result. I know it's a stupid little game, but how do we kill bitterness? Let's talk about that real quick. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about it. He says, get rid of all bitterness. Say all. The word all in the Greek, the Hebrew, the Chinese, the English, the Pig Latin, Greek, all means all. Like all. Get rid of all bitterness. In essence, all rage, all anger, all brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Let me say that again. Be kind. What's God's response? Get rid of all bitterness. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each just as in Christ God forgave you. What he's saying is, I want to show you a model of how to get past bitterness. Forgive just like you were forgiven through Christ, or through God in Christ. Forgive, just the way you were forgiven, you forgive. So two ways we kill bitterness. Number one, we kill bitterness with compassion. Compassion. See, the challenge again with bitterness is we feel justified. If they come talk to me, I'll forgive them, but they got to, you know. You know, it doesn't say that. You forgive because Christ forgave you. See, the laws of heaven are most always the complete opposite of our human nature. To become great in the kingdom, we do what? Serve. To become great in our culture, it's what? Step on people's heads on the way up the corporate ladder to get to where you climb. Just climb as high as you want. Use others to get. That's what our culture says. But God says, if you want to be great, you serve. Jesus came not to serve, but to not to be served, but to serve. When someone strikes you on one cheek, the Bible says to turn the other cheek. Now, that's countercultural. You kill bitterness. You don't get bitter, you give love, and you give compassion. Now, that sounds countercultural, because how many of you guys love the people you're bitter against? Or feel like loving them? Feeling like going above and beyond. Romans, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, we become part of the solution, not part of the perpetuating problem. In fact, in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, I love this verse where it says, bless those who curse you. And that word bless is the Greek word eulogy. It's where we get the word eulogy for funerals. A eulogy is when, you know, none of us are perfect, but when we have a funeral someday, most people are going to get up and talk about the good things about us. They're not going to bring up the bad things about us. They're going to eulogize. It's going to bring up the good thing. But bless, that word, it's bless those who curse you. Think of the good things of those who curse you. Bless those who, and what's it say? And what? What? Pray. P-R, say it. It doesn't say P-R-E-Y. We're to bless those who curse us and pray, P-R-A-Y, for those who've mistreated you. Not P-R-E-Y. You ever met someone? Yeah, so-and-so. Oh, let me tell you about it. Have you heard what they did? And you nurse it and curse it and rehearse it. You ever met someone who prayed upon someone, not prayed for someone? Now, here's the thing about prayer. Prayer, we often pray thinking God's going to change the other person, but prayer does not change the other person oftentimes. You know who prayer changes? I say it a lot. It's not what happens to us that's important. It's what happens in us that's the most important. God is on a journey with us to transform the inside of us, and God might allow some difficult porcupine people around you. You know what porcupine people are, right? People with a lot of fine points but hard to hug. Some of those difficult people, he puts those people in our lives not to torment us, but to do something on the inside. God, help me have love and compassion and pray for people. And secondly, the greatest way to kill bitterness is with forgiveness. You might say, Mark, you have no idea. What happened to me is unforgivable. And what happened to you might be unforgettable, but it's not unforgivable. Now, here's the thing. What happened to you. And it was real. And we don't want to marginalize that, minimize the pain of that. We don't want to act like it never happened. But here's the reality. You can't take back yesterday, but you can change tomorrow. And yeah, it happened, but forgiveness does not mean acting like it never happened. Forgiveness doesn't deny and the feelings or the pain. Forgiveness says, I'm not going to hold them. God gave us a ministry of reconciliation, which means I'm not going to hold men's sins against them anymore. It means I choose to let go and let God. God, I choose to release them. Jesus forgave us. He forgave us immediately, unwaveringly, generously, and unconditionally. And when he said it's finished on the cross, what he came to do to forgive us is finished. How many are thankful that God's forgiven you? How many are thankful it doesn't bring it up over and over and over? Well, you know something? You did that 37 times last week. I don't know. I'm thankful for that. Because I'm messed up. Forgiveness says, I let go. This week, I want to encourage you to think about something. Would you take some quiet time this week and do inventory? Lord, are there people that I should unload from my bitterness baggage? Are there some people I should forgive before I hit the new year? Are there some people I need to release and not hold their sins? See, anyone ever played spades? Raise your hand. You played spades before. Don't you know we don't play cards in the church? Do you see the hands that were raised? My hand was raised too. I played spades a week ago. But in spades, the ace of spades is like the high. There's trump, and then there's the highest trump. How many of you guys ever played spades? And you know, it gets to the end of the end, you got to take one more trick, and you got the ace of spades, and everyone else, and people now know, oh, snap, I didn't get meld. I didn't get what I bid or whatever, because you got the ace, you're holding it. Friends, bitterness is when you hold the ace of spades and choose not to let it go. Because you know, no matter what they say or do, yeah, but you know, I got this thing over here I'm choosing to hold on to, and it'll trump anything you do, it'll trump anything you say to me, because I'm going to play that thing called bitterness, and it's the bitterness. And what forgiveness is when you choose not to play the ace. It's when you choose not to play spades at all when it comes to spiritually and say, I choose to hand it in and not trump what's happening right here, but allow God to trump my life. God, forgive. We all need forgiveness. Let's give it. Let's forgive it. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to shift and talk about our legacy offering. Lord, I thank you for this day. And I pray right now for everyone that's in this room today that, God, we're so thankful that we're forgiven people. And we're people who need forgiveness, and we're people who need to give forgiveness. And Lord, for those in this room that walk into a holiday season right now, Christmas season's difficult because they realize that there's relationships that aren't the way they wish they were. Help those in here dealing right now with deep roots of bitterness to find a way to pull and uproot those through love and compassion and forgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.